Hillary, are we ready to go again?
Yes, Chair Kelly and board members, we are ready to go in the room, in the virtual meeting room.
All right. It's 12:45. Welcome back to the Board of Forestry virtual meeting room. A reminder for members of the public that if they would like to submit written testimony for the information items presented at this meeting, to send in your comments by March 23rd so they can be included with the meeting record. And our next item up is the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee testimony. And hopefully we've got John Sweet, and I believe we have Commissioner Yamamoto. I don't see his camera on. There he is. Hello. Okay, guys. We're welcoming you remotely. When you're ready to begin, go right ahead.
Well, I'll start in. Chair Kelly, members of the Board of Forestry, State Forester Mukamoto, staff. I'm John Sweet, Coos County Commissioner and Vice Chair of the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee. David has asked me to testify first this afternoon. I'd like to comment a bit on the HCP and the FMP. The HCP and the FMP decisions in front of the Board of Forestry are major long-term policy changes that will have impact on our communities and forests across the state. It is critical that all of us, including the Board of Forestry, understand these decisions. I suggest the board get answers to the following questions before making any decisions. At the January meeting, the board was asked why the draft HCP includes riparian buffers that exceed the width of riparian buffers in the private forest accord by up to 50% in some places, and it applies buffers to streams unbuffered in the private forest accord. A board member made a distinction between the ODF HCP and the PFA, saying that the HCP is a, gosh, here I find myself using these initials. I swore I would never do that. A board member made a distinction between the ODF, HCP, and the PFA, saying that the HCP is a precursor to an incidental take permit. This is a false distinction. The Private Forest Accord report, which I am told you have all received, states that the report memorialized the agreement of the authors to modify Oregon's forest practices law and regulations to craft a habit conservation plan, or HCP, that will achieve the issuance criteria of an incidental take permit. The Private Forestry Accord and the Oregon Department of Forestry have the same goal, to craft HCPs and receive incidental take permits. So the question remains, why are the riparian buffers wider in the ODF draft HCP than in the PFAs? Further, the Board of Forestry must ask how the HCP is compatible with the Linn County case, which held that the state has a contract with the counties. This contract cannot be ignored. Finally, setting aside the Linn County action, the Board of Forestry must ask how the HCP provides for greatest permanent value. As Commissioner Yamamoto will say, the HCP limits ODF's ability to respond to changing conditions with active management and cedes some control of the lands to the federal services, which are organizations not bound by the greatest permanent value rule. It appears to me that ODF is proposing to limit management on the county's lands in excess of what is needed to receive an incidental take permit, and in excess of conservation considered in the business case analysis used to justify applying for an incidental take permit in the first place. I do not see how this overly expansive HCP will ensure that the lands generate the greatest permanent value as directed by law. Now, with that, I'd like to change direction here just for a moment. I really appreciate the board members meeting with the County Forest Trust lands here a few weeks ago. At that time, we talked about the way the revenues from the forest lands are distributed. And for the benefit of those Board of Forestry members who were not there that day, I'd like to summarize this. First, it's important to know that the county's share of those distributions are distributed amongst the taxing districts within each county in the same way that property tax revenues are distributed. Keep in mind, these lands were once privately owned in the county, and the property taxes that the private owners paid went to the schools, the county, all the taxing districts in the county that had forest land in them. So that's why we share. We don't do it. Jim, you suggested that, why are you asked? Why don't you just keep it all yourself? I'd love to, but unfortunately, we can't do that. It was a great idea, but afraid it's not allowed. I'm just going to talk in kind of round numbers. Generally speaking, the Oregon Department of Forestry takes about one third of the revenues, the gross revenues from the trust lands to pay for management of those lands. The other two thirds are distributed via the county to all the taxing districts that get them within the county. About a half of those two thirds that the county get goes to K through 12, community colleges, and educational service districts. And dollar for dollar, I believe, those distributions to those three categories of educational entities offset state school equalization funds. So when you look at this, really one third of the total revenue goes to the Oregon Department of Forestry. One third essentially gets back to the state through school equalization, leaving one third to be distributed amongst the county taxing districts. The share that the county gets it varies from county to county depending on their tax rate, but it primarily goes to public safety, our sheriff's office, our jails, assistant district attorneys to prosecute crimes, juvenile and parole and probation. The rest of that is distributed within the county. It goes to such things as voting, you're keeping records straight, vital records. It goes to just running the county in general. So not that money isn't wasted, and we don't get very much of it in the first place. So anyway, I'll close my testimony with that and turn this over to Commissioner Yamamoto. Thank you all for listening.
You're muted, David. David, you're muted.
We can't hear you. Not sure how to get through here. Now, if we all put our hands up.
Sorry, I just realized I was muted. I apologize so much. Let me start over. I apologize, Chair Kelly. But Chair Kelly, members of the Board of Forestry, and again, a special shout out to Liz Akapoa. Again, we have not met, but special welcome from FGLAC and from Tillamook County in particular. State Forester Mukamoto, staff, I am David Yamamoto, Tillamook County Commissioner and Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I'm here today because FGLAC does have a statutory responsibility to advise the Board of Forestry and the State Forester on matters which affect management of the State Forest Trust lands under ORS 526.156. Today, I'm going to focus on county finances, jobs, and the magnitude of the decisions in front of each of you. Chair Kelly, board members, I want to thank you for attending the FTLAC meeting on February 18th. I appreciate your taking the time to hear from the counties and especially to learn how timber revenue supports county services. As I described at the FTLAC meeting, timber revenue in Tillamook County primarily supports education, local school districts, community college, and 4-H activities. For the Neocone School District in particular, timber revenue accounts for a quarter of their annual budget. Turning to the Tillamook County General Fund, about 30% of the revenue to the fund is from state timber. We use the general fund to pay for essential services in our community. Our largest general fund department is our sheriff's office, which remains woefully understaffed, especially during the summer months, when our population swells from 26,000 permanent residents to well over 125,000 people here during peak summer travel periods. Timber jobs are an even larger part of our economic picture and are absolutely vital. In Tillamook County, the wood product sector provides over 850 jobs. These are family wage, fully benefited jobs. The average wood product sector job has wages more than $17,000 a year higher than the average private sector job in Tillamook County. The story is the same for all counties with state forest lands, except the highly urbanized Washington County. Further, wood product sector jobs pay double that of leisure and hospitality jobs in all of our counties. FTLAC appreciates the desire board members expressed at the January meeting to consider data before making changes to forest management policy. This included in this must be the consideration of number one, impacts to county and tax district revenue, two, impacts to the services the revenue supports, and three, impacts to jobs, particularly family wage, fully benefited jobs. The decisions in front of the board are too important to our communities for these decisions to be made without a thorough understanding of the impacts. I do want to turn now to the role of the Board of Forestry and State Forester in managing state forest lands. At the last board meeting, a board member expressed that the HCP is a tool for achieving greatest permanent value. This is not the case. Forest Management Planning Rule, OAR 629-035-0030, clearly states that planning to meet greatest permanent value is done through the Forest Management Plan, not a Habitat Conservation Plan. The greatest permanent value rule, OAR 629-035-0020, assigns the task of managing for greatest permanent value to the state forester. OAR 629-035-0020 states in subsection 4, and I quote, "The state forester shall manage forest lands as provided in this section by developing and implementing management plans for a given planning area as provided in OAR 629-035-030, which is the forest management planning, to 629-035-0100, existing long range plans," unquote. A habitat conservation plan provides a method to comply with the Federal Endangered Species Act, not a method to provide greatest permanent value. We have serious concerns about the Board of Forestry unreasonably limiting management of county lands. The HCP is a 70-year contract that defines where and how management activities can occur during the life of the contract. The HCP will limit the management options available to the Oregon Department of Forestry limit the ability of future state foresters to develop forest management plans, and limit future boards of forestry to supervise forest policy and management as directed by ORS 526-016. These limitations will be detrimental to ODF's ability to respond to environmental changes, including climate change, fire, and other natural disturbances. This Board of Forestry owes to future generations the ability to decide the appropriate way to manage state forest lands. Tying the hands of future boards with an overly burdensome HCP effectively takes control of the lands out of the hands of the Board of Forestry and Oregonians and puts control in the hands of NOAA Fisheries and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Doing so is not in the best interest of counties, Oregonians, ODF, or this or future boards of forestry. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for the time to present to you this morning or this afternoon, and I'd be willing to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Commissioner. We really did appreciate the work you guys did to educate us a little bit more on where the money goes and the constraints that you guys deal with related to that. So that's super. Any questions, Brenda? You've got a question or comment?
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, just a point of clarification and then a question. So the HCP is a means of acquiring an incidental take permit, which then therefore enables greater certainty with regards to implementing a management plan. So I think the two are related. I would hate to see those two parsed apart. The question I though have for you, Commissioner Yamamoto, is, with all due respect, we hear from you at every board meeting, which we appreciate, and I appreciated attending the FTLAC meeting a few weeks ago. But I'm curious about the views that you and Commissioner Sweet express regularly, whether those views are shared by other commissioners within the FTLAC?
I am sure if you polled the 15 trust county commissioners, it's not going to be a 100% unanimous. Almost nothing is, but the vast, vast majority of commissioners in those counties would absolutely agree with Commissioner Sweet and my views.
Yeah, thank you. Approximately how many would out of the 15?
I can count possibly a handful, 5, maybe 6.
So about a third.
No, 15 trust counties. That's about 40 commissioners, over 40 commissioners.
Oh, the commissioners, not the counties. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was talking to each individual commissioner within the counties, even within certain counties that may lean in different directions. I still feel the majority of commissioners within each county would be in agreement with what we're doing.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I think it would be helpful at times to hear kind of the minority view of as well. So just a suggestion. Thank you.
And we always tell our commissioners of the 15 trust counties that even though it is the responsibility of the chair and co-chair to provide testimony to the Board of Forestry, we do encourage everyone to make public comment to the Board of Forestry.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Let's go ahead, we're already running over, but you go ahead, and then we'll try to move on to our next agenda item.
Two part question. Thank you, Chair Kelly. Commissioner, can you tell us or give us feedback on the economic impact to the counties? Could you give us an overview on the economic impact that you would have provided to NOAA? I know NOAA is going to get back to us, but I guess I'd like to hear a highlighted overview from you. And then, you know, earlier at one of the board meetings, it was brought up, you know, the value of recreational or service jobs in rural Oregon versus the value of that timber job. And while you said it was 17,000 higher than most other private jobs, could you make a comparison of that timber position versus a recreational position?
Absolutely. And thank you for the question. So the economic impacts as being proposed by NOAA Fisheries, we did ask them for those numbers and they told us they're not finished with their study yet. But from our treasurer, we did get the basis for the questions that they were asking our treasurer. And so the information that we provided at our last FTLAC meeting closely resembles what NOAA Fisheries is doing. So I'm hopeful that when we see those numbers, that they're going to be right in line with what we presented. And incidentally, we are asking now other, we're using the Tillamook County template for the financial information we gave you. And we're asking as many other trust counties as possible to fill that out so that you get a better understanding from each individual county what those timber revenue dollars mean for that count, for each of the counties. When it comes to recreation and service versus timber industry jobs, again, in Tillamook County and many of the rural counties, timber jobs are absolutely some of the highest paying family wage, fully benefited jobs we have when it comes to recreation and service industry in particular. So the average wage job in Tillamook County is about $36,000 a year. Average forestry job is over $50,000 a year. But when it comes to leisure and hospitality, the recreation jobs, the service jobs, those are about $22,000 to $23,000 per year. And normally those also do not have benefits. Many of them are part-time temporary, and most of them do not have benefits. So the travel and leisure jobs, the recreation jobs, as you refer to them, are not family wage fully benefited jobs.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. And Chair Kelly, again, thank you for the opportunity to testify before the Board of Forestry.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you both, commissioners. And with that, we will move on to our next item on our agenda.